This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is the Daily Digest on the Bigger Picture. I'm T. Xiao Ik with Lim Soo Ann and Sumitra Selvaraj. As always, we have two stories for you today, starting with our first one.
Yes, and we bring you another one of our Hari Ini Dalam Sejarah segments because today is Global Handwashing Day. So we'll be taking a look particularly at the importance of hand hygiene in the medical setting. So Global Handwashing Day was actually first initiated on the 15th of October in 2008, and that was by the Global Handwashing Partnership. So since since 2008, it has been celebrated annually around the world, and this year it's already the 11th year. So the whole idea of having a Global Handwashing Day is aimed at increasing awareness and understanding about the importance of hand washing with soap.
So the theme this year is Clean Hands for All, following the push to leave no one behind in the UN's Agenda for Sustainable Development. The theme is supposed to remind us that we need to be inclusive when addressing hand washing disparities. And that means that people of all regions in all countries have access to basic hand washing facilities with soap and water, whether they're from urban or rural population, something perhaps that we can easily take for granted.
Exactly. I was thinking that, right?
So the data collected by the World Health Organization and UNICEF from 2000 to 2017 shows that only 60% of the world's population has access to basic hand washing facilities. And in the world's least developed countries, only 28% of people have access to these facilities.
Something to think about next time we turn on that tap for the water. And Clean Hands for All also means that vulnerable groups such as older people and people with disabilities, as well as marginalized groups such as indigenous communities, have that, you know, equal ability to practice hand washing with clean water and soap. So according to the WHO-UNICEF Joint Monitoring Program report in 2015, 92% of the Malaysian population had access to safely managed water services, and 82% had access to safely managed sanitation services. But, you know, 92% and 82%, while it sounds good, it's still not universal access to water.
So when the UN Special Reporter on the Human Rights to Safe Drinking Water and Sanitation, Leo Heller, was in Malaysia for a two-week visit about a year ago, he pointed out that some Orang Asli communities are still lacking access to clean water. And even though some Orang Asli settlements had water treatment facilities, they're either not working or they've been abandoned.
And on that note, since Budget 2020 was just announced and we've been talking about it on the station, there was an allocation to improve water supply in next year's budget. So taking a look at it, here are some numbers. $587 million to be provided for rural water supply. This includes $470 million for Sabah and Sarawak to attain 99% access to clean water supply. There is also $83 million for Orang Asli education, economy and infrastructure development. And so we're thinking the likelihood is that infrastructure development would include improving access to water, or as we hope it would.
No, it's strange, right? I mean, you think about the fact that, you know, so much of the budget is towards, you know, taking us towards the next step forward in socioeconomic development. We're looking at upgrading our hospitals. We're looking at pouring money into vaccines that don't even exist in national immunization plans in other countries. But we have countrymen and women who don't have access to water.
So in 2019 or 2020, we're talking about a shared prosperity vision. Why are we still talking about pockets of our communities who are neglected and left behind in these services?
And so that shared prosperity should mean that, you know, within the next few years, we need to make sure that all Malaysians have equal access to clean water.
All Malaysians.
So that they, because it's something as basic as hand hygiene. And, you know, you can't, if the water is not clean, then you can't. Even if you use soap, it's not
a level playing field at all.
No, yeah. And, you know, and don't also, and, the UN also mentioned about the importance of having children as well as healthcare workers and patients to have equal access to practice hand hygiene. So this means that, you know, schools, hospitals, clinics, all sorts of healthcare facilities or educational facilities need to ensure that they themselves are also able to provide these facilities, making sure that, you know, the people there have soap, water, and then they can practice good hand hygiene. And so what I wanted to hone in on is that concept of hand hygiene in the healthcare setting, because nowadays we're seeing every now and then we see news about multi-drug resistant organisms, antibiotic resistance, and it's quite scary, especially in the hospital setting, because that's where it becomes worse and worse, to the point where you can't find medications to treat these new diseases, and you know, and then that leads to increased risk of hospital acquired infections, which are infections that patients would acquire when they're staying at the hospital. So diseases that they may not have had before they've entered a hospital setting, and then they acquire that from whatever germs and organisms that are inhabiting the hospitals.
Yeah. Mm. So I don't think we've got statistics on the burden of hospital-acquired infections in Malaysia, right? But the impact of it is undeniable, right? Mm. It could lead to prolonged hospital stays, long-term disability, increased resistance of microorganisms to antimicrobials. This is a big one. Mm-hmm. Additional costs for health systems and also for patients and their families. And of course, in worst-case scenarios, even unnecessary deaths.
Yeah, and then, you know, on top of microbial resistant bacteria that we've always been talking about, now we have microbial resistant fungal infections. Yes. Yeah, we did a show about the super fungus, which is not as cool as it sounds.
It's very terrifying.
Mm-mm. It is very invasive and very terrifying.
Yeah. Mm. And I remember, Shawik, you previously did an interview with a consultant infectious disease physician, Associate Professor Dr. Sashila Ponnampalavana.
Yes. Yes, and so what she highlighted there was the important role of hand hygiene in reducing the risk of developing hospital-acquired infections, as you mentioned, especially when healthcare workers follow the protocols that have been put in place. And again, you think this is something that should be routine, but apparently it is an issue that needs to be highlighted, reminded, and reinforced. So here's a clip from that interview where Dr. Sashila explains when hand hygiene needs to be practiced in the healthcare setting.
Many studies have shown that hand hygiene is the single most effective way of preventing the transmission of organisms from one patient to another. You know, it has shown to reduce multi-drug resistant MRSAs, ESBLs, and also it's been shown to be most cost-effective to implement this strategy to reduce your multi-drug resistant organisms. Even in University of Malaya, just by improving our hand hygiene among healthcare workers, we've managed to reduce the rates of many of the multi-drug resistant organisms, even in our hospital. It's very effective. So the hand hygiene for healthcare workers, WHO has got a protocol, Clean Hands Saves Lives. And there's a 5 moment of hand hygiene where the healthcare worker must adhere to. One is before they touch the patient. So, you know, if the doctor comes into the room and even if they want to shake hands with the patient, before we do that, we have to wash our hands with alcohol-based hand rub. And that's the first moment before patient contact.
Okay.
The second moment is before aseptic technique. So that means, you know, if they were going to touch the patient's line or administer some fluids or prepare the medication, they must again scrub their hands with alcohol-based hand rub. And then the third moment is you know, after they have finished touching something that is soiled or fluids around the patient, they must again wash their hands. And then you have after patient surrounding, they must wash their hands before after patient surrounding.
What exactly is patient surrounding?
So patient surrounding is the area around the patient. That means the patient's you know, the bedstand, the cardex table. So these are the areas, if the doctor or, you know, any healthcare worker goes into the room, and or even the drip stand. So sometimes the doctor or the nurse puts in hangs a new medication for the patient. If they touch that, and even if they didn't touch the patient and they come out, that's after patient surrounding.
Oh,
they should, because studies have shown that even though the patient has the organism, there's risk of these organisms being in the patient's surrounding. And that's been shown in almost lots of studies, that if you swabbed the surrounding area of the patient, you will get the same organisms that the patient has. So we assume that your hands are already contaminated once you touch the patient's surrounding, and therefore when you leave, you need to wash your hand.
So that was Consultant Infectious Disease Physician Associate Professor Dr. Sashila Ponnampalavana. So the WHO protocol she referred to is part of an annual campaign actually that WHO does, which they started back in 2009 in order to encourage healthcare workers to just do the simple steps of just washing your hands or using alcohol sanitizer that is available in hospitals and clinics. It's always there.
You do see it at all the touch points.
Yeah, but I don't recall very often seeing people use those sanitizers unless, you know, whether you really need it or not. And you can actually download that podcast for the clip that we played earlier. You can search hygiene on our website, on our BFM app.
I actually use those hand sanitizers if I'm in a hospital because it's not so much for myself.
For the patient.
For the patient. Yeah. For whoever I'm visiting. Mm-hmm. I'm always super conscious about opening their door or touching their bed. I think that, you know, especially if they're immunocompromised or in a situation where they're already, you know, weak or tired. Yeah, the last thing you want to be bringing in is germs from the outside. Yeah.
And that's what they're there for. Mm. They're usually placed strategically along the corridors, in the wards. And I have, to the credit of the hospitals that I've been in, I have seen the doctors and the nurses very, very
diligently
using these sanitizers. Yeah. Yeah.
But it's not just hospitals that we have to worry about. In fact, we're asking on our BFM poll today whether you wash your hands after using a supermarket trolley. And 65% of you have said no. Mm-hmm. 35% of you, of course, have said yes. The reason why we're asking you this is, I don't know if you remember that, but there was an article going around a couple of years ago saying that supermarket trolley handles harbour far more germs than a toilet would. Which is staggering. It made me rethink the next time I wanted to go into NSK. I just stood there staring at the trolley as to what to do. But a lot of supermarkets these days actually do provide, the ones that I go to, provide wipes that you can automatically just do a quick swipe with.
Right, okay. And if you bring your own wipes with you or squirt a bit of the sanitizers on a tissue and just wipe it, I presume.
Mm. Do both of you bring hand sanitizers with you when you go around? Do you use them?
I must say I'm not that diligent with the everyday objects.
Right.
Apart from, of course, visiting the bathrooms and things like that. I guess I have a bit of a liberal attitude. You know, a little bit of germs won't hurt us. But of course, you do hear, as you hear, you know, when cases of hand, foot and mouth disease emerge, I am more careful in those instances when my son is with me.
I'm quite particular about the whole idea of washing hands and sanitizing at the grocery store. Simply because I think this whole idea of contamination with raw meat is something that people don't think about enough. But, you know, when you see people handling raw meat and putting it into packages or even then handling the packages themselves, and you know, these things are crawling with bacteria. And if it's going to be, you know, in a shopping trolley, although I must say these days more and more, I am seeing parents out in restaurants, if they use a communal baby chair,
they wipe it down.
Yeah, I've seen them doing the wiping.
Or they bring their own seat covers, which I presume would be washable.
Yeah, but back to your topic of hand washing, right? I remember that a couple of years ago, and I don't know whether any large scale studies were done, but I remember a couple of years ago, studies started to be done at elementary schools in the US, for example. They actually found a link between teaching children hand washing and lowered absenteeism because of the amount of disease, you know, communicable diseases that you could actually prevent by teaching children or just giving them access to hand washing hygiene lessons in school.
Yeah, and these are the kinds of habits you learn at that age.
And if you don't teach children to pick up these habits at the young age, as you grow older, I feel like I sometimes fall into that trap of not wanting to wash my hands because it's too troublesome.
Now we know.
Not all the time. But it's good practice to start from young. And I think that goes back to making sure that schools themselves do provide facilities. Because from what I remember, my school was not always that diligent in making sure there was soap, for example.
School toilets, hello, not the best model for hygiene.
No. Yeah.
Although I must say, although this doesn't apply to me personally, you know, a lot of cultural practices do teach you very good hand hygiene lessons. You know, a lot of religious practices are quite rooted in ablutions and having to clean yourself thoroughly before starting a practice, for example. So, you know, the lessons are there. It's just whether we choose to carry them on throughout our lives.
That's right.
We had a good question come in via WhatsApp about Global Hand Washing Day. Is it actually possible to wash your hands too much?
Oh.
Like having them become dry or cracked or red?
Okay.
It's a good question. And I think the answer to that would be wash on need, right? Mm-hmm. If you have handled something or if you've been somewhere, mm-hmm. then you should wash. But yeah. there is no need to wash more than necessary.
Yeah. So, you know, after you go to the bathroom, mm-hmm. definitely.
Before
you eat, definitely.
And like we're asking you on mm-hmm. Twitter, after you use a supermarket trolley as well, we asked you whether you wash your hands after using a supermarket trolley. And 69% of you said no, and 31% of you said yes. And the reason why we asked you this question is because supermarket trolleys are meant to be laden with germs. Mm. And a
just
lot
think
of
how many people are touching them.
Yes. Absolutely. And quite a few, we've had a couple of comments that came in on social media that concur as well. On Twitter, that's my full name, says, I will get a lot of flack from parents for this. Can you please not put your shoe-wearing kids into shopping carts? It's unhygienic.
Ooh, okay.
Yes, we can wash stuff, but I don't want to wipe every item down before placing them in my fridge or cabinet or my kitchen counter or table.
So he or she is probably talking about children who are sitting in the trolley mm-hmm. itself.
And not just in the seat
area.
Yeah.
And would you believe it? Another comment came in on WhatsApp on exactly the same thing. Supermarket trolleys are made dirty when people put their children with their shoes into it.
Ooh.
So perhaps this problem is a little bit more prevalent than we think it is.
As a parent myself, I promise I will be more mindful of this.
We also had a comment saying, in response to, do you wash your hands after using a supermarket trolley? No, but I do use hand sanitizer or wet wipes after. And that's a fairly good kind of backup, right? If you don't have access to soap and water, although soap and water is still best.
I guess in that moment, that is your best option, right? Right. And so as a reminder for everyone listening on this Global Handwashing Day, alcohol-based hand sanitizers do help to kill germs, but soap and water is always your best option, especially when you have dirty and icky hands.
You know, I'm just resisting the urge to run out of the studio now and just wash my hands, right?
Well, you'll have the chance to do that because we have a break coming up. If you have any thoughts on hand washing, you can tweet us at BFM Radio, WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. And we'll be back after the break to recap some health allocations in Budget 2020. That's for our second story. But first, here's MC Hammer with, of course, You Can't Touch This.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.